If you would please this morning turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 20 for just a few moments this morning. For those, of course, that's been in our regular Sunday morning services, we've been looking at the Gospel of Matthew now for a good little while and looking at some different things, the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And last week, we looked here in chapter number 20 at the parable of course, of the laborers in the vineyard. And we talked about God, how God rewards faithfulness, regardless of whether you start early or you get in late, if you will, as far as serving God. God will honor and certainly reward faithfulness, and very thankful for that. I want to continue in the same chapter this morning in the verses preceding that, in verses 20 through verses 28. We come here now to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and I'll make mention of verses 17 through 19. Of course, Jesus again tells his disciples about his impending death and all that that's coming. And then we find something here that James and John and the mother of James and John comes before Jesus, and they begin to ask him some questions here, or certainly seek him about a matter that they're concerned about. And so I begin to look at that, and a lot of times we read over things in the Scriptures, especially looking at the ministry of the Lord Jesus and remembering that he's dealing now basically, of course, with the Jews and the disciples. But I believe there's some things here this morning that that all of us need to consider for those that are saved today. And, of course, I realize as we look at this, we're going to be basically dealing with folks today that certainly are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly how we need to have a passion to serve. But also today, I want you to consider in your own heart and your own life, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, that today would be the day that you would trust him. The thought this morning would simply be this, as I'm going to read the verses of Scripture and give you some opening comments and get into the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart for the service this morning. And the thought is simply this today: a position or a passion to serve. A position or a passion to serve. I want you to think about that thought. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a particular position within the church, and or this, that, and the other, and certainly you may not, but all of us have a position that we should fulfill in our Christian life, in a passion to serve and to serve others today. And so I want you to think about that as we look at the text before us this morning. If you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able to stand. And certainly if you're not, that's okay. The Bible says in verse number 20, then came to him, speaking of Jesus, then came to him the mother. Notice this, I find this interesting. Now, I know next week's Mother's Day, and sometimes we preach Mother's Day's messages, and sometimes we don't, but this is kind of a pre-Mother's Day message, I guess, or contained within the fault today. But notice, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, which would have been James and John, as we know, with her sons, worshiping. Now notice this, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Notice that. But notice verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Then notice verse 24. When the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. I want you to notice that. But then notice verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And I want you to notice in the last three verses here as Jesus is speaking, he says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, or that word means bond slave. Even, notice in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. A position or a passion to serve. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the wonderful teaching, Lord, the beautiful singing. Lord, all those that, Lord, have already come to the altar this morning. Father, all that you've already done in our midst today, Father, I want to thank you. God, I want to praise you. Now, Lord, I pray for just a few moments. God is your servant. God, you'd anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray you give me liberty this morning. God, I pray you'd bind the very forces of hell this morning for a little while. God, give us liberty, God, to place and preach, Lord, what you placed upon our heart, God, for this hour. God, I pray our ears and hearts to be open and receptive under the preaching of the word of God. I pray this morning we not just desire a position, but God, this morning we desire, Lord, a passion to serve and to serve you and to serve others. I pray most of all today, Lord, if for someone here, God, they've never trusted you as their Savior, I pray today would be the good day, Lord, they come by faith and call upon you for salvation. Lord, I love you today. Thank you for loving me. And Lord, thank you for this place and for this people. God, I pray you'll bless our time together now around the Word of God. I pray our ears and hearts to be open and receptive to that which you have for us. Help us that we might all grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Have your will and have your way. Lord, whatever you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. I believe what we have before us here this morning is some very unusual scripture in some aspects today as we consider it. And as we look at it for a few moments today here, the mother of James and John has come now to Jesus and she begins to ask him a question. And I want you to try now to get in your mind. I've tried to certainly get myself captured within the scene of what's taking place. Of course, Jesus again just foretold of his death and all that. And now they ask this question. And so I want us to consider today, are we interested in a position? Are we interested this morning in what man sees? Or are we interested in certainly what God sees? And certainly are we interested today in having a passion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And the way we serve him today is by serving one another. I like what Jesus reminds them of there in verse 28 of him being our example of a passion to serve. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And aren't you glad today that he was willing to do that? Aren't you glad that he was willing to give his life for many, again, for all those that would call upon him for salvation? So this morning, again, thinking about a position or a passion to serve. After Jesus reminds his disciples that the Son of Man must be betrayed, he must be mocked, scourged, and crucified, and the third day rise again. James and John, as we said, and their mother come to Jesus asking an unusual request about their future position in his kingdom. We too this morning, if not careful, even in our Christian life and our service of him, get caught up in a position rather than a true passion to serve. And again, Christ our Savior, again, being our great example. And so we also need to realize that these disciples were looking at temporal things, if you will. They were looking at earthly things. They were looking at an earthly kingdom. But I'm glad God's kingdom this morning is not of this world. Amen. I'm glad this morning his kingdom, if you will, it's out of this world. And so today they asked this unusual question. And so it, as you look at it and think about it upon the surface, the surface of it, it kind of looks like a selfish question. And it kind of looks at a lot of different things this morning as we consider it. But I'm glad this morning that certainly God in His Word shows us the human side of the elements of mankind. And so whether it's good, bad, or the ugly, God just puts it in the Word of God. And so this morning we can learn some things from that today, because if we're not careful, as I said, we get caught up in positions in life rather than a passion to serve. And I believe it ought to be the true passion of every born-again child of God here today to serve Him and to serve one another with all of our hearts. Friend, time's running out. We look at this world around us this morning and we see all that's transpiring and all that's going on. And listen, I'm going to tell you, He's coming back. I don't know when. All I know is He's coming. And we're going to stand before Him one day. And we're going to give an account of our Christian life for those that are saved by the grace of God. And so this morning, I'll tell you today, we all need to consider, are we interested in a position, a name, or recognition, or are we interested in a passion to serve? I want to give you about three or four things quickly this morning. I try to draw it right out of the text today. I pray to be a help and a blessing, and I pray that it would be a challenge to each of us today that are saved this morning. Lord, I want to have a passion to serve, a passion to serve, not just a position, but a passion to serve. First of all, I want you to see their desire. Their desire. We find that here in the text before us. Notice the Bible says here in chapter number 20 and verse number 20, or chapter 20, verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him. Now on the surface, oh, that looks good, preacher. Oh, that looks wonderful here. James and John and their mother, they're coming to worship him. Well, sometimes as we think about that and we look at it here within the text of what's happening here, we find this morning, and again, worship's a wonderful thing. Jesus was worthy then of our worship. Jesus is worthy now of our worship. And Jesus will always be worthy of our worship. But everything that's called worship is not genuinely worshiping. They seem to come with an alternative motive as they've come to worship the one that's worthy to be worshiped. And again, this morning, thank God today, church, He's worthy to be worshiped. And you and I should not worship Him for no other reason than that He is God, and that He is the Savior, and that He's the one that did give His life on an old rugged cross today, that we could know Him this morning in a free pardon of sin. We ought to worship Him today simply because He's God, and like Him there is no other. We ought to worship Him this morning. Thank God for every good gift that He's given unto you and I. The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And so today, He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy of our worship. And we ought to worship Him today. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, we call this a worship service. By the way, this is called a worship service. But I'm afraid sometimes our worship's not genuinely coming from our hearts with a clear motive. Lord, I just want to worship You. God, I just want to honor You. Lord, I just want to thank You. I'm not asking You for a thing. I'm not seeking You for a thing. I've just come to worship You. And that's what we ought to do. And not just on Sunday morning, by the way. We ought to worship Him all the time. They were not in a church setting here. But the Bible says their desire was to worship. I wonder today, as each of us searches our heart here this morning, is our clear motive here this morning to worship Him and to hear from heaven
and say, "Oh God, I've come today to honor you. I've come to glorify you. I've come to hear from heaven. I've come to be touched by the Holy Ghost of God. Have my heart stirred. Have my life stirred this morning. Oh, I tell you, he's worthy to be worshipped today, my friend." We see their desire, the Bible says, they come to worship. Today, I wonder as I look at the text, though, was that really their motive for being there? Not only do I see in their desire of them worshiping him, but as we've already said, I see in their desires, I see some wrong motives. Not only were they worshiping, but I believe as we look at the text, there was some wrong motives of James and John. And these were great men. These were men that had been following the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry. They had seen the miracles performed. But again, I'm afraid they had their heart and their mind upon earthly position, earthly prominence, and not a true passion to serve. Jesus said, "I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going to rise the third day." But yet now we find before us this morning that they've come with, I'm wondering, do they have the kind of wrong motives even in their worship? Sometimes if we're not careful, we have the wrong motives. Notice not only in their desire do I see them worshiping him. Not only do I'm afraid there's some wrong motives within the hearts and the minds of James and John, but then I see a wishing mother. I find that interesting. Now, Mark also gives us an account of this text before us, and you can go read that for yourself in Mark chapter number 10 and verses 35 through 45. We have the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, but the mother is not mentioned there. But Matthew mentions the mother. And so we have the worship, and we have to consider the motives that are on the hearts and minds of God. But then we have a wishing mother. What does it mean to wish this morning? I kind of thought about that and looked at that. And the word wish this morning, to feel or express a strong desire or hope for something that is not easily attainable. They've come to ask Jesus. She's come to ask Jesus if her boys could sit on his left hand and on his right hand in his kingdom. Well, now, I thought about that. As a wishing mother and as their desire, every mama wants the best for their children. Amen. There's not a mother in this building today, that certainly this morning, that is anywhere near what you should be, that you do not want the very best for your child. These men were grown men, by the way. They weren't teenagers, they's grown men. And they've come, and she's come as a wishful mother, and she knew Jesus. No doubt I know that she knew Jesus, and maybe she had ministered to Jesus, and she comes as a wishful mother and says, "Could you let my boy sit on your left hand and on your right hand? Mom, do you want the best for your children?" Amen. Could I give you what's best for your children? Real quick, and I'll move on. The best thing for your children this morning is to give them Jesus. Amen. There's nothing any better today that you can give them as to give them the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, today, make that a priority of your life. Make that a prayer of your life. Thank God, I'll tell you what, to point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let your example of a passion to serve, let that be their example of a passion to serve. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, if we got what we deserve today, today, we'd all be in hell. But aren't you glad, thank God, there's a God that loved us. Aren't you glad there's a God that extended grace and extended mercy, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God, and a God that saves and redeems. Thank God today, friend. You can't teach your children anything any more important than to get them unto Jesus today, my friend. So we see their desire. They come worshiping. I question whether it was the wrong motive. I see a wishing mother. But here, secondly, this morning, not only do I see their desire, I see, secondly, their dilemma. Notice in verse 22, we find in verse 21, and he said unto her, speaking of Jesus, what will thou? In other words, what you want? Aren't you glad we got a God to listen to us even sometimes in our foolish request? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad we've got a God this morning even sometimes in our foolish request. God still hears. In other words, he says, what is it you want? Notice in verse 21. And again she saith unto him, grant thy these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Here's our dilemma starting in verse number 22. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. In other words, you don't have no idea what you just asked me. Anybody in here ever made any foolish request? Yeah, sure we have. We made out of the same stuff that James and John was made out of, and their mother. We're made out of the same stuff. But notice their dilemma. You don't know what you ask. Are you able? Now Jesus asks some very sobering questions. Here's the dilemma. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink and be and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. They had no idea what they were saying. They had no idea what they were saying. You say, well, preacher, it's talking about drinking of a cup and being baptized. That doesn't sound too bad. That's not what Jesus is saying here. And the dilemma is this morning. He says, you know not what you ask. He reminds them of the cup and the baptism, of his sufferings and of his death. In the preceding verses, he's already told them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be beaten. All those things that he talked about in the preceding verses, he said, that's the cup that I've got to drink of. That's the baptism that I'm facing. It's my suffering and my death. A lot of us are pretty brave until it comes to suffering and death. Huh? Aren't you glad God's not asking you and I to die for him? He's asking you and I that we might live for him. Amen. Lord, help us this morning as the body of Christ that we would determine in our heart. Now listen, there's some things that we need to die out to, and that we need to keep crucified, and that's this flesh this morning. But friend, God's not asking you and I to die for him. He's asking you and I that we would live for him. But here's their dilemma. Jesus says, you don't have no idea what you just asked me. Are you able to drink of this cup? Are you able to take of this baptism? Oh yeah, Lord, we are. We're able. They had no idea what they were saying or what they were facing. Now it's interesting as you continue to study about John's life and you continue to study about James's life. And then notice what Jesus says in the next verse there. In verse 23. And he said to them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. In other words, yep, you're going to know something about it. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it's not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. It was not about their position, but it was about their passion to serve, and that would determine their reward. Listen, it's not about holding a position. It's not about holding a position of a preacher or a pastor. It's not about holding a position as a Sunday school teacher. It's not about holding a position and doing this and a position doing that. Friend, it's about having a passion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. Do you realize today that each and every one of us has the potential to be a help to somebody? And Lord help us, that ought to be our desire. First of all, to point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What's happened to the modern day church when it comes to evangelism? Our thought of Christianity, I'm just going to ride back and preach a while, so just go ahead and put your seatbelt on. Our modern day view of Christianity is we're members down at Pleasant Grove. That's our position. And we meet for Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And we meet for what we call worship service at 11 o'clock. Sometimes that might be debatable. Hey, man. When we meet on Sunday night at 6 o'clock and we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7:30. No, that's wonderful. No, that's great. And we ought to be faithful to that. That ought to be a priority of our life. But friend, if we miss that God has put us here as His children, He has saved us, had redeemed us from hell this morning, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's put us here that we might go out and tell somebody else there's a God in heaven today that loves them. And just like He died for me, He died for them. Just like He paid my sin debt. Friend, He paid your sin debt. And He paid the sin debt of the whole world. And God help us today that we'd get back to the place that we'd see that we need to evangelize. We need to tell others. We need to show others. We need to serve others. Why? Because people are going to perish without God today. And we sat back in our positions. Lord, we want to sit on your left hand and on your right hand. God says, Jesus says, it's not for mine to give. That's all up to the Father. Listen, I'm not interested this morning in sitting on the left hand or the right hand. I missed that a long time ago. My interest today is what Jesus tells them in this text today. It's not about a position, but it's about a passion to serve. We see their desire. We see secondly this morning, we see their dilemma. As you continue to study the life of John, see, Jesus had not yet been crucified. Jesus had not yet risen from the dead. See, it was after the fact that they realized that Jesus died on that cross and that He rose again that we see a full commitment and understanding of those disciples. I'm afraid some of us this morning have not got a complete understanding. Now, I understand we'll never understand it all. We can't explain it all. We can't figure it all out. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. He died, but He's not dead. He's alive. And after the resurrection, and after the mission of the gospel has been committed to these men. John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos some years down the road. Even in being exiled, it is said that they tried to boil him alive. Couldn't kill him. Jesus already told me, after you're going to have to drink of the cup I drank of, and you're going to have to be baptized with the baptism I was baptized with. Hey, nobody don't want to suffer anymore. Hey, none of us want to suffer. But listen, these men were willing, thank God, not to look at a position, but they were willing to have a passion to serve after Jesus had arisen from the dead. John was exiled out of Isle of Patmos. Thank God he was, because that's where we get the book of the Revelation from. James, if you go to the book of Acts, in chapter number 12 and verse number 2, you'll find that Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. In other words, he literally gave his life for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're worried about the world making fun of us. Are we interested in a position? Or are we interested in a passion to serve? We see their desire. We see their dilemma. But thirdly, I want you to notice the division. Now, think about it with me for just a moment. There's James and John, and Mom comes with them. And the other 10 disciples are there. And she says, Jesus? She says, what do you want, honey? She said, I'd like for my boys to be able to sit on your left hand and on your right hand. That's basically what you say in our modern-day terminology. Well, that brought a division with the rest of the disciples. Could you see them to the side? Well, who does she think she is? Or who do these boys think they are? We've been following Jesus too. Notice the division. You know what the devil always tries to do? He tries to divide. And if we allow our flesh and our carnal thinking to get in the way, if we're not careful, we'll be thinking just like they were thinking. Why? Because we're flesh just like they were flesh. And if we think somebody's getting something over us or somebody's getting something that we're not getting, the first thing you know, we're mad and we're puffed up. Woo! Boy, I can stop right here and preach a while. I see it in the Baptist church all the time. Well, this crowd over here, they got this, and this crowd got that. And I'm telling you, friend, it's not about, thank God this morning, what we're getting or what we're not getting. It's about this morning, thank God, honoring, worshiping, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ today and serving others. Hey, God's a good paymaster. God will reward accordingly. We just got to keep serving and keep serving and keep loving this morning. Why? Because that's what our Savior has called us to do. So we find the division. You see it plainly here in verse number 24. When the 10 heard it, they were moved with gladness and joy. Must be one of them left-handed deals. Now, the Bible uses a very strong word here. They were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Oh, division in the camp. I see the devil trying to do it all the time. And if he can get you mad at me and me mad at you, or you mad at the one across from you, or the one sitting on the other side of the pew, or the one in the Sunday school class, I mean, if he can get you mad, bless God, I just ain't going back down there. That crowd don't love me. I didn't get what I deserved. Probably a good thing. Probably a good thing none of us get what we deserve. I already said that, I think, in the context of the message.
Isn't it amazing how jealousy and envy, oh yes, well, I'll tell you what, so-and-so got a new car and I didn't get one. Or they sing that good old song, Gloom and Despair and Agony on Me. When at the end of the day, God's been good to all of us. I truly believe this in the economy of God. God will truly reward us with what we deserve. I believe that. I was somewhere the other day, I don't even remember. I think it was when I went up to the school, they called me Friday after the tragedy. Wanted to know if I could come and counsel with some of the kids, if they desired counseling. I said, sure. And so I went to school and hung around a couple of hours. And got to talking with someone about something. And it's amazing to me how we just take so much for granted. And how God's been so good to all of us today. And how that so many people that call themselves Christians today get knocked out of gear over stuff that don't even really matter. Man, we're the body of Christ. We love one another. We love Him and love one another. And we've been put here to serve one another. It's not about holding a position. It's about having a passion to serve. We see their desire. We see their dilemma. We see the division. Notice, let me give you a couple of things about the division. I got to hurry here so I can get done. Number one, we see in the division, number one, they heard it. Could I say somebody will always hear it? Somebody will always hear. Why, if nothing else, the devil will make sure they will. Oh, yeah. They heard it. No, not only do we find in their division that they heard it, but secondly, they were hurt by it. How do you know they were hurt by it? Bible says they had indignation against their brethren. They were mad. We get mad and puffed up at one another. Boy, we can really have a good time that way, can't we? We really see God do something that way, can't we, preacher? No. No, you can't. See, sometimes we just got to crucify this old flesh. Well, preacher, you shook so-and-so's hand, didn't shake mine. Or you spoke to them, didn't speak to me. Or, preacher, you did this for them and didn't do this for me. Oh, yeah. They heard it, and then they were hurt by it. Sometimes it'd be good for us as people that's been saved for a while. I can understand with new Christians and young Christians and the children when they become Christians. Man, Paul said in the book of Corinthians, when I become a man, I put away childish things. But, preacher, I've been wronged. We all have. We all have. Get over it and go on. God's been too good to us. God's blessed us too much. God's given us too much to do. They heard it. They were hurt by it. I put this down. because I see this happen. And as a group, they were hindered by it. There was division there with the disciples. Who does James and John think they are? Bless God, come in here and ask Jesus if he can sit on his left hand and his right hand. Who do they think he is? And brought Mama with them. Can you imagine, Pete? Can you believe them boys brought their mama with them? But do you see what happened? It brought division. And I preach on this so often. I try to remind us so often of the importance of unity. Jesus just told them he's going to be betrayed and mocked and crucified. Now there's division among them. There's one thing about Jesus. He deals with division pretty quick. They heard it. They were hurt by it. They were hindered by it. But then I want you to notice last year this morning the directions that Jesus gives in the passion to serve. Notice in verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him. I want you to get something right here real quick. If there's division within the body of Christ, God wants to deal with it and deal with it quickly. He don't want that thing lingering. He wants to deal with it. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. Speaking of the Gentiles, speaking of the Romans, speaking of how they do things. But notice what he says in verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. Who's he speaking to? The disciples, the believers, the followers. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That word minister means servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Preacher, is that the same thing? No, that means bond servant. That means lower than a regular servant. It's not about a position. It's not about being recognized. It's not about prominence or popularity. It's about a passion to serve. Let me give you three things in the directions Jesus gives. Number one, it's about humility and not pride. Boy, pride will get in the way, won't it? And, of course, the book of Proverbs just gives us nugget after nugget about pride. I don't have time to get into that this morning. But the directions that God gives you and I, if we're going to have a passion to serve, is first humility and not pride. Man, I'm just glad to be born again. I don't deserve a position. I don't deserve a place. I deserve nothing today. I'm glad God uses us and puts us in positions and puts us in places and gives us something to do. But friend, we must do it in humility. Not only do I see humility and not pride, I see honor others and not ourselves. I was taught a long time ago, be wary of those people that come around and says, this would be for me and this would be for me. And this is what I need to do. Be wary of those. It's honoring others and not honoring ourselves. It's humility, it's honor. And then lastly, it's having hearts and hands that are willing to serve. Notice what Jesus says in verse 28 again. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Why, if anybody ought to have been ministered to, it ought to have been him. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Holy One. Hey, man, if anybody ought to have been ministered to, it ought to have been him. But he said, I didn't come to be ministered to. But notice what he says, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It all boils down to this morning, church. It's having a heart and hands that are willing to serve, that has a passion to serve. Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, is what I want to do. Lord, whatever I can do to bring honor and glory to you is what I want to do. Lord, whatever I can do to point somebody else to you is what I want to do. That ought to be our passion. Our passion to serve. Listen, God will take care of the positions. Jesus even told him, boys, it's not mine to give. It's not mine to give. The Father will work all that out. And I've already said this, but let me say it in closing. God will reward accordingly. But he also will take away accordingly. There where he talks about wood, hay, and stubble, all those things that didn't have the right motive, all be burned up. Not your salvation, your reward. Wouldn't it be sad to know that you had to stand there and watch your reward, what you thought was your reward, be burned up by fire? God's been too good to us. Lord, help us to serve you from our hearts and with our hands and to serve others. It's not about a position. It's about a passion to serve. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, got a song together. Father, we sure do love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. And Father, today I pray that you'd help each of us to search our hearts. And Lord, today that our motive today to serve would be certainly a passion to serve. Wouldn't be about a position. Wouldn't be about being acknowledged. But I pray today, Lord, that we would do it with a pure heart and pure hands. Then, Lord, today I pray if there be any among us today that's never trusted you as their Savior. Lord, the first thing that we must do is receive you as Savior. Lord, we can't serve you. No way we can serve you, Lord, if we don't know you. Lord, I'm afraid there's people even trying to do that in this day and hour in which we live. Lord, help our worship to be right. Help our motives to be right. And help us today that we'd see and realize that we've got a world out here in front of us, before us, that needs to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So I pray that you'd help us today. I pray you'd help in the invitation. Lord, I know this has been a message to the church, but there may be some here today that's not saved. There could be some here today that would want to come and say, Lord, help me to, I want to make sure that I have that passion to serve and to tell others, to evangelize. And Lord, you'll reward accordingly. You take the invitation, Father, you use it. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name. Amen. What you